this third week of the thing. So during this thing, we focused on six people who each had a personal encounter with Christ. So last week, we first got Mary sitting at the feet of Christ. This week, we'd like to focus on Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus climbed the tree, and as such, his life changed completely. Each person had a personal encounter with Christ. Their lives were transformed completely. And so today, we'd like to ask one to please speak to us about Zacchaeus.
Session, as Joe just pointed out, it's on the story of Zacchaeus, and so Pat kindly wrote the text for us. And we're just going to go through the story, basically reading it together, like story time, and just sort of glean a few of the lessons we can learn about this theme, which is coming face to face with Christ. And we'll see as we go through the story how Zacchaeus achieved that goal of becoming face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll start reading together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. If we stop there for a second, as soon as we hear about Jericho, we get some images of Tadros trying to fix the
I'm so sorry.
I don't know what's going on.
We can see it
then.
No, as good as
it's going to
get.
Everyone can see it?
It's good
enough. Right, so now get the image of Tadros' body out of your head.
They need to.
And think about, he passed through Jericho. As soon as we hear the word Jericho, the city Jericho, we remember what happened in the Old Testament. We all know what happened in the Old Testament with Jericho. You always want to remember what happened in the Old Testament, Jericho? Feel free to yell it out. What happened in Jericho?
The walls of Jericho.
The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And so we know Jericho gives us some lovely memories of what happened there and how God conquered something that was very difficult. The Joshua wanted to take the nation of Israel out of the wilderness. They've been in the wilderness for a very long time. And he wanted to get them out of the wilderness and into the promised land. And the very first city that they would face would be, they crossed the river Jordan. After they crossed the river Jordan, they were faced with Jericho. And it was the hardest city to conquer because it was a fortified city protected by very high walls. It was the first challenge. It was the first time they saw God leading them into the promised land by a miraculous act that he brought the walls down. So as soon as we hear Jericho, we know something big's going to happen now. Because, yes, God brought down the physical walls of Jericho, of a city, and now we expect that he'll bring down the physical walls of a difficult heart. We keep reading. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Just by that introduction of Zacchaeus, we know a lot about him. Firstly, he was a tax collector, which means a couple of things. First, it means that he was hated by everybody. Because what tax collectors would do, you know, Zacchaeus would have been a Jew. And what would have happened is he would have sided with the Romans, to work for the Romans, to collect taxes off the Jewish people in Jerusalem, or in Jericho in this case. And so the Jews considered tax collectors like traitors, like you're siding with the Romans, and then you're going to come and take taxes off your own people. And not only that, but it was known tax collectors will take for themselves extra for their own income. So Zacchaeus would collect money off the Galbanim in Jericho, give it to the people they hate in Rome, and then take for himself a bit. But we know from this statement as well that it wasn't just a bit that he took, because it says that he was rich. So we know that he was rich from collecting taxes with a profit for himself. Not only that, but it says he was a chief tax collector. He's the head of them all. It wasn't just an average tax collector, he's a chief tax collector, which means he would even be more hated and despised by the people. And this is how we're introduced to this man. We're in Jericho, where something big can potentially take place, and we're introduced to this little short guy who is hated and is rich by betraying his own people and siding with the Romans. And so we're in on. And he saw to see who Jesus was. So he would have heard a lot about Jesus in the area, and this guy called Jesus coming around, he's doing miracles, he's healing the sick, there's this big fast, people following Jesus. So he would have been curious to see who is this Jesus character that everyone's talking about. I want to see what it's all about. And so he sought to see who Jesus was. But he could not, because of the crowd and of his short stature. And there are two reasons, two obstacles for him to seeing Jesus. The first was that it was too crowded. And the problem with Zacchaeus is because he was so hated, it is too dangerous for him to be amongst the crowd. Because he could be abused, he could be hit, he could be stabbed from behind in the midst of the crowd, and he could be killed very easily. And so a cheap tax collector wouldn't go around in crowds. He protected himself in certain ways. So the first obstacle to seeing Jesus was that it would be too dangerous for him to be in the midst of that crowd. The second, even if he had the guts to go in the midst of the crowd, he was too short, the poor guy, and he couldn't say anything, so there was really no point to bother. And at that point, most of us would have stopped there. Like, yeah, I want to see what it's all about. Everyone's talking about Jesus. Everyone comes to church and talks about how they love Jesus and how they have this beautiful relationship with him and how he's transformed their life. Yeah, I want to be part of all that. I want to see what it's all about. But I can't because I live far. I can't because I work on Sunday. I can't because I don't have any way of getting there. I can't because nobody likes me. I can't because I don't have any friends at church who I'm going to hang out with. I can't because I like sleeping in. I can't because... And so we always build up for ourselves obstacles to seeking Christ. But Zacchaeus had good obstacles, reasonable obstacles, but we'll read on to see how he conquered them. So he ran and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. You know, back then in the Middle East, probably even now, it was extremely undignified for a man to run. Like, it's embarrassing. Imagine this little short Muhtaram guy, you know, running through the crowds. It wasn't dignified back then in the Middle East. And still now to some degree. Like, you won't see like you're not going to see, for example, Amr the Neer like running through the church. Yeah, he walks around dignified, people following him. So it was undignified of Zacchaeus to do that, first of all. Secondly, he climbed up a tree like a monkey. That was even more undignified. So you imagine Zacchaeus with all his pride that he's this chief tax collector and that he's rich. And that he looks down to all these peasant Jews who are paying him taxes. And he owns it all, you know. And I've got a connection with Rome that I'm not going out with me. You know, he would have been an extremely prideful man. And so for Zacchaeus to run and climb up a tree like a monkey was extremely humiliating for him. and how people would have observed him would have been extremely humiliating. This is another obstacle for Zacchaeus to see Christ. He was too crowded, he was too short, and it would be so embarrassing for me to run up and climb up a tree. Everyone's going to look at me with his big head running up the tree. But he still did it. And this is really the message of Zacchaeus' secret of how he got to see Christ face to face. Because we all know what happens next. That Christ, and we'll read it, it says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And so he came face to face with Christ in the midst of the crowd. In the midst of the rush, Christ comes, passes by, Zacchaeus looking down, Christ looks up, face to face with Christ. How did he get to that point? He got to that point because he was prepared to overcome obstacles, he was prepared to put effort, and he was prepared to leave things behind. He was prepared to leave his pride behind. He was prepared to leave his dignity behind. He was prepared to leave his embarrassment behind. He left it at the foot of that tree, and he climbed up that tree. And that's what got him to the point where he could look face to face with Christ. And so it is the same for us. Sometimes we want to experience something with Christ. We want to go face to face with him. We want to speak to him. We want to hear him speak to us. We want him to look at us and consider us. But we don't really put enough effort into doing that. We're not prepared to leave certain things behind. For example, there's somebody that really annoys me, and I hate them, and I'm never going to forgive them. That's it. How can I come face to face with Christ if I'm not prepared to leave things behind? If I'm not prepared to forgive my brother or my sister something they've done against me? How can I expect to see Christ face to face? How can I expect to see him face to face? I'm not prepared to leave my pride behind and to humiliate myself sometimes. How can I expect to see Christ face to face if I'm not prepared to fast? Church puts for us fast on our stuff like that, and just whatever. I'm not prepared to put effort into my spiritual life, my relationship with God, then I'll never get to the point where I can look at him face to face. I can never get to the point where I achieve anything in my spiritual life. Zacchaeus, although he was extremely bad, although he was a chief tax collector, although he was a betrayer, he achieved something great because he was prepared to leave things behind and he was prepared to put the effort in to see Christ. And this is a guarantee and a promise that if we put effort in to our relationship with God, we'll see him clearly. There is no way I can, for example, put my alarm on, go to sleep at 10, for example, put my alarm on at midnight to wake up, to pray the midnight prayer, and not expect to have revelation in that time. There's no way I can go to sleep at night, put my alarm at 6 a.m. to go to sleep, to wake up and do some tasbih praises, and not expect to feel something amazing with Christ. Any time I go out of my comfort zone, I put effort in to spending time with Christ or to seeking him, then he must show himself. He must. He won't just leave us. Had Zacchaeus not done that big effort to go up the tree, he would never have seen Christ or heard that call that he got from Christ. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Could you imagine Zacchaeus' feeling when Christ looked up to him? How would he have felt? He probably would have panicked. Oh my God, he actually stops looking at me. What am I going to do now? And then Christ says to him, Zacchaeus, like calls him by his own individual name, as a sign of love that I know you already. Like how would Christ have known him? Says to him, Zacchaeus, I know you. I love you and everything about you, but despite everything I know about you, I want to come to your place tonight. I want to have dinner at your place tonight. Come down quick, quick. And so that whole scene not only shocked Zacchaeus, but it shocked everyone around him. Because, as we see, they grumbled. The people were so frustrated that they said this. So he made haste and came. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Like, everyone knew Zacchaeus. Everyone knew how bad he was. Everybody knew how he ripped them off 100 times. And they're all trying just to get to Christ. And he leaves everyone and says, "I'm going to this guy's house." And so they're all complaining and grumbling, saying, "What's going on? Jesus is going to this really bad sinner to stay and have dinner in his house." Again, Christ's love is shocking, but it shocked the people. Since when can someone have that amount of love that he's hated by the whole nation, but Christ comes and knows his name and wants to go to his house and loves him to that point, despite everything he knows about him? And so all the people around were surprised and shocked at the love that God had for Zacchaeus. And I don't have to say this, but it's the same for us. That despite what we do, despite how far we've gone, despite how bad we are, despite how weak we think we may be, despite how hopeless, God loves us. God looks to us individually and knows us by name. He looks to us and says, "Mark, I know you, I love you, I want to come to your house." And so this invitation is for all of us. This encounter of becoming face to face with Christ is for all of us. None of us can stand up here and say, "That's not for me. I'm bad, or I'm hopeless, or I don't have anything good." Well, we have here an example of the worst kind of person, and Christ is interested in this kind of person. So the story goes on that Christ goes to his house, has dinner, and we don't know the discussion that took place while Jesus was over, but we can suspect that whatever it was, it moved the heart of Zacchaeus. And so the conclusion was this: and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Zacchaeus was a very bad accountant, despite his tax collector. He's very bad at maths. If you try to figure it out, Joe, help us out here. Let's say he owned his possession 100 grand, okay, from everything he's done. It says, half I give to the poor. So 50 grand's wiped out. He's left with 50. Now that 50, let's say 50% of the 50 was taken by dishonest gain. So maybe the 50% was fair, he worked for it, he got it. The other 50, he ripped everyone off. So that leaves him with 25 grand that he can keep. Another 25 grand that he has to restore fourfold. So he has to restore 100 grand with that 25 that's left over. So he's now negative 75 grand. So it was a dramatic offer. It was huge. That I'm going to keep everything away, pretty much. Everything that I've got, it's gone now. And that's what was the result of this encounter with Christ. And this is perhaps the most important element after our encounter with Christ. Like, sometimes we get to the point that we sacrifice and we run up the tree and we put the effort in and Jesus, and he looks to me and he says, "Come to my house," and yeah, and then I don't want to change. I'm not changing. I am what I am. I am who I am. And I'm not going to change. I like my sin the way it is. I like my life the way it is. I'm not forgiving that person. I'm not stopping that sin. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. But Zacchaeus had the guts and the audacity to say that I'm giving it all away without even thinking about calculating. Because had he thought about calculating it, he would have made that promise. He gave it all away. And so I guess the takeaways from the story of Zacchaeus is that the first and most important thing is that I put effort into my relationship with God. No effort I put in is forgotten by the Lord. Every effort I put in is an offering of love, and the Lord never, never forgets. There's a saying in Arabic, I'm like an Arabic scholar now, there's a saying in Arabic that says, Rabbena mishbi bad madiun. Anyone get that? Rabbena mishbi bad madiun. Now what translated for us? God doesn't go to bed at night owing someone anything. God doesn't go to sleep at night until he pays everyone back. Of course God doesn't sleep, but we get the idea that he's quick to repay you. He doesn't wait. He's quick to repay you immediately. I'll tell you a little story. Before I was a priest, the Buddha Anthony from the monastery used to abuse me like he abuses all of you. The only way out of being abused by Buddha Anthony is to be ordained a priest. Anyway, one of the ways he used to abuse me was this. He used to publish those books that he publishes, and he'd send me 150 copies and says, sell it at St. Mark's. So one time he published this really boring book, and he gives me this book, 150 of them, and he sells them at St. Mark's. And back then, the youth group wasn't this big. And so I had 150 of these books. I'm trying to sell it to anyone who wants to buy this book. But it wasn't whatever I was buying. So I'm stuck with 150 books, and he wants the money for his books. Right? And the amount that I owed him for the books was $1,300. And no one wants to buy any. So I didn't want to be an idiot and just send him back the books. So I thought, what should I do? Send him back the books, just pay him the money. Send him back the books, just pay the money, I don't know. Okay, no, he's a monk, I can't send him back the books. So I just paid him the money. $1,300, I just paid it. I took the books and chucked it in my garage. And I was a bit uneasy about it. Like, I just spent $1,300 on books that I can't do anything with. No one wants to multiply. If I give them free, they're not even going to take them. So I was a bit uneasy about it, but it doesn't matter. Just do it, forget about it. But if it's $1,300, then I'll come. I go to work the next day, the very next day, and my boss comes to me and gives me this piece of paper, and it says, a bonus, $1,300. And firstly, I wasn't expecting a bonus at all. It wasn't bonus season, it was just some weird bonus, I don't know where it came from. And the amount, to be exactly the amount of the books, really blew me away. That God, he repays it straight away, he doesn't wait. You know, something you've offered to God, he gives it back straight away. I've still got books in my garage, so anyone wants Paradise the Fathers Volume 2, I'll pay you to take it. So God doesn't. God doesn't wait. He pays it back. Remember once there was a bishop here from Egypt, and he was saying a story. I think it's Amber Beeman. It was Amber Beeman. He was here, and he was saying that when he was a monk in the monastery, he used to see that whenever he used to see the abbot of the monastery walking past, Amber Beeman, a young monk, would run to the garden and pick out for him a bunch of flowers, make a little bouquet of flowers, and run to the abbot and give him the bouquet of flowers. And he said he used to do it every time he saw the abbot, he'd do that. As a sign of love and thanks to the abbot for looking after him, he does that. So every time he goes to it, he gets a bouquet, makes it, gives it to the abbot, and the abbot gets really happy. And he can't give it to girls, he has to give it to the abbot. So he gives it to the abbot. Anyway, and he used to do that when he was young, and anyway, he forgot about it. And later on, years on, he became a bishop himself, Amber Beeman. And he said, the first day I was in my diocese, he just settled in, set it up, he's in his diocese, he walks out of his diocese and he finds a priest coming to greet him, to welcome him as the new bishop. And as soon as the priest saw Amber Beeman, he ran to the flower bed, plucked out a few flowers, gave it to Amber Beeman as a gift. And Amber Beeman was saying that he couldn't believe that God still remembered. Just still remembered that little offering of love that he would give to his bishop, so that when he became bishop on the very first day, the priest would come and offer him a bouquet of flowers. Big or small, God doesn't forget. I'm not talking just about offerings, I'm talking about the time I put into my relationship with him. No time I stand before God, no single matanya is forgotten, no lifting up of my hands as a sacrifice. Even my voice box that I use to praise him, everything is remembered. As we say, we call it the sacrifice of praise. Why is praise a sacrifice? I'm even offering my voice as a sacrifice. When we sing, as we were singing before, it's an offering to God. There is no offering forgotten. And every time I offer, every time I put effort, every time I put my dignity behind me, my pride behind me, or my sins behind me, and I climb up that tree, expect to look down and to see Christ looking up at you, and then expect an invitation to your house, to your heart, to your life. But be prepared to make that change that is required. Every time I encounter Christ, I leave transformed. I leave ready to be a new person. And may we learn all from the story of Zacchaeus, and may it be an inspiration for us to come face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ. And glory to God.
Any questions for Buona, please? Hands up.
We can spell it like
that. That way, like, pops come to Australia, and they spell that like really weird. And so we'll spell it like the other way.
Any other questions at all?
Thank you.
Guys, before we start praying, just quickly, just a couple of announcements to next week. So this Saturday is the service camp. Next week, we're all going to...